Hi, everybody. Today we have Sergio. Hey, Sergio. How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so introduce yourself.
All right. I'm Sergio. I'm one of your coworkers at Wrigley.
Yeah, man.
We met, what, coming up on 2 years now?
Yeah, two and some change.
Yeah, something like that. You know, been a Chicago local for almost all my life. Born in Mexico, but
raised
here.
How old are you, dude?
I just turned 22. February 24th, actually.
Okay, so which I want to touch on, because there's a point in here about the historical event that we talked about.
Of course. So I just turned 22. I've lived here in the city my whole life, so I practically know the whole city like the back of my hand.
Yeah,
great city, love it.
Where about in the city do you live?
Rogers Park.
Okay, Rogers Park. So you're just like north of me.
Yeah, practically went to school over here, Senn High School, not too far from you.
Okay. Do you go to college?
I do go to college over in the suburbs, Oakton.
Oakton? I have no idea where that is.
Yeah, Skokie. It's in Skokie. Community college.
Like, tell me more. Like, what's your major?
Yeah, so, I mean, I graduated in COVID, right? So that was a little bit of uncertainty.
Yeah.
I remember, I think I had applied to 12 schools. I think I got into a pretty big majority of them.
Wow, good for you.
And then COVID hit. And I know everybody's tired of talking about COVID. I mean, we hit the 4-year anniversary.
Yeah, like, I'm sorry. It's a,
yeah, 4 years. 4 years?
Yeah.
Something like that, right?
Yeah.
So when I graduated, which was on a Zoom call, mind you, you know, I had gotten into a lot of these schools. My dream school actually was Bradley over in, Period, Illinois. And, you know, I did get some nice scholarships and some good grant money, but it wasn't enough. I was still going to have to pay a little bit out of pocket, which was expected.
Right.
But when COVID hit, it changed my plans completely. Mm-hmm. You know, I practically assumed it's going to be online. It's going to be Zoom classes for the foreseeable future.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to pay a bunch of money to stay home when the whole plan was to, you know, live that college experience, stay in a dorm kind of thing. So I thought to myself, if I'm going to be staying home, just taking online classes, I might as well maybe change my plans, go to community college, saved a ton of money.
Absolutely.
And I mean, yeah, online classes as well, but, a lot closer to home, so if I ever did need a commute, it was just a 15-minute bus ride compared to 3 hours away from home.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, in the long run, it's been cheaper, same education, really. And I'm about to graduate. I'm about to receive my associates next semester.
And the social, I think the social education from like staying with other people and like meeting other people, and that kind of like brings me to a point. Like, do you think you've met a trans person or know? If you've met a trans person?
So that a trans person, maybe not directly. I do have family members who are in the LGBTQ community. Mm-hmm. And through them, I've gotten to meet some very, very great people. But somebody who's, you know, trans, not personally, until I met you.
Okay. And I don't even remember. Like, do you remember how I told you or if you found out? Or
I had no clue. I mean,
okay.
I think your Instagram appeared. And
I'm very upfront with my Instagram.
Yeah, which very cool, very awesome. And I'm like, oh, I no clue. I mean, yeah.
Right. Well, I've been transitioning for like 17 years. Like, I think I've been on testosterone like for 15 years. And I don't mind like being open up front.
Right.
Like, I'm so trans that other people, I heard this quote the other day. Like, I'm so trans that other people feel comfortable being trans too.
And I think it's good. I mean, I feel like society has progressed a lot. I mean, not to say we still don't have a long way to go, right? But you being comfortable in your own skin, I think, is great for everybody. Because, I mean, to me, you're just another person, another human being.
Right.
It doesn't matter what you want to do with your life. I think it's
the guy doing back sweep,
right? But no, it's great. I mean, it makes me glad that you could be comfortable around everybody else and be yourself and not have to hide who you are. And I think that's great. You know, I personally know a couple people who have struggled on their own journey and in coming out and, you know, taking their own time. And I respect that everybody's on their own timeline. But, you know, I wish, you know, me, I've never had, it's not my journey. It's not something I've personally dealt with. And it's easier said than done, but it's something that I wish those people who have struggled a little bit have known that, hey, it's good to be yourself. You know, if you have people who you really trust and are comfortable around, I think, you know.
Yeah, I think, like when I was young, I didn't know an abundance of trans people. When I say abundance, I don't think I knew any trans people.
Right.
I think I knew maybe one, and it was a guy getting his hormones off the black market. And I don't even think I knew what the black market meant. It was like, I'm doing air quotes even.
Right, of course.
Right now, because I don't even...
Something that wasn't necessarily prescribed to you.
Yeah, and like, I don't even know exactly, you know, like how to access drugs at that point. I think I was like 17 years old.
Probably like any, like a weed dealer or anything.
Right.
Text your local plug, meet him on the street corner. And
yeah, and I'm trying to figure out how to talk to youth now. And it's not like trying to put the young people on, you know, hormones. It's trying to make sure that they know that as a 36-year-old trans man, like you can turn 36, because when I was that age, I was so afraid of like killing myself.
Yeah, very stigmatized, and
you know, because I didn't realize that I was not a lesbian. I knew I was a man, like as a young person, like as a 6-year old, I knew it. So when your child is telling you like, I'm a boy, like when the kid is assigned female at birth, you have to listen to that child.
Right. And I think that's it's something that's so often overlooked. I mean, you know, especially with younger children, right? I do feel like something like that, you know, your sexuality, your gender, anything along that sort, is something you inherently know from the get-go, even before you even know what all of this thing is, right? And, you know, it's so easy for an adult to just look at a kid and say, he doesn't know what he's talking about. They don't know what they're talking about. You know, they're just confused. You know, it's very easy to disregard them and just chalk it up to overactive imagination and something like that. But you're right. I mean, I do think from the get-go, you know, even before you're aware of what any of it means, you know who you are. It's in you.
And like I was discussing with Frank last week, it's kind of like, you know, if you're left or right-handed.
Right.
Like you go out there and you shoot a basketball.
I mean, you don't think about...
Nobody tells you...
You're not thinking
like,
about, let me figure out what hand feels comfortable.
Right, absolutely. It's just absolutely natural.
Absolutely.
Same with straight people. They don't know that they're straight.
Exactly.
They just know.
I think that's a very good comparison, right? I mean, the de facto, the default is straight people, and then, you're right. When you're...
I don't know how to compare it.
It's absolutely
this
true.
Is the way I am, but people look at it as like the freak show, but it's like we're the 0.01% that they're worried about changing the laws for. Like,
not
affecting anybody.
So, God, there are some social medias that I steer away from because they're just so toxic, but see a lot of people complaining, the rates of, you know, people in the LGBTQ space are soaring, they're rising, they're higher than ever. Well, of course, because we're now in a place where people feel a little bit more comfortable. Right. There are just, it's the same amount of people who have felt the same amount of way, just now they feel a little bit more comfortable coming out. So, of course, those rates are going to be
But if you look at, say, for instance, like Wrigley Field, but like look at the small space of like trans people in there.
That's true. That's true.
And if I look at like a chunk of like Grand Bay, Alabama, where I'm from, look at the small chunk of trans people there. Look at the small chunk. Like we're still such a small marginalized group of people. Like
and
so few of us. Like why are y'all?
But you guys are painted as, you know, the enemy, and it's
right.
Yeah.
And then people are like, oh, the regret you guys will have of your transition, blah, 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 blah. Mind you, I have a statistic here because I can't remember them
all. Yeah, of course.
Because I'm learning with the regret of knee and hip replacements are 8-10%.
Okay.
That's wild, right?
Yeah, that is a big
gender-affirming care has a regret rate of less than 1%.
Yeah, and again, it's the cherry picking. That we're gonna pick a case where somebody did come out and say, "Hey, you know, this was maybe not the best idea. I regretted it," and they just use it as a staple and say
it's a talking point.
Yeah, of course, they're gonna run with it. And
I mean, I can't say that like the aggravation. Like, I don't have a single regret. I mean, the butt hair is I mean, I don't think anybody wants like a dead squirrel in their behind. Sorry about anybody who's listening who doesn't want to hear that, But that's like the downside of testosterone, you know. That's
true,
what we're at, bro. Like,
hey man,
that sucks. Like, sorry for any like cisgender man who has to deal with that.
I will say this
shit.
Though, you do grow a better beard than I have ever.
I do have a nice beard. I mean, there's a lot of cis men who say that.
They're I've never been able to grow facial hair.
Yeah,
man.
I'm sorry, dog. If I could give you some,
if I try, I get that stereotypical Mexican, you know, a little wispy.
Yeah. And I'm never gonna make fun of you because I've been there, dog. You know, I can't grow this middle, but I have that receding hairline. But, you know, I didn't want that.
Right.
But I'm so glad I have. And it's like kind of one of those things where like cis men who've like, when I bounce at that bar that I don't care to mention because they don't even deserve their name being flaunted on this, you know.
He who shall not be named.
Yeah, who shall not be named. I've had people cuss me out. Like, you know, cis men, like, oh, that stupid ass hairline you got. I'm like,
and if anything, that's the most gender affirming.
Yeah, like, thank you, dog.
I appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah, thank you.
Of course.
You know, so, you know, testosterone has its like affirming things that happen with it. So I appreciate the hormone, but you know, it is what it is.
It also can have its downsides, like a hairy ass.
Yeah, it does. So. But I wanted to go back. Remember, so we went to trivia that one night.
We did go to trivia. That was a very fun night.
Yeah, we're doing like a 90-degree angle here about this topic, but because I'm so much older than you. But we learned about 9/11 as a post-historical event, and that just...
Yeah, so for those that don't know or aren't aware, my generation, the 2002 kids, we were the first generation to learn about 9/11 as a historical event, which is... crazy. It's crazy to think about.
Mm-hmm. That just blows my mind because I mean I think I was like, this happened in September, so, and I was born in November, so I was just shy of 15. So I mean I was in eighth grade. I remember them, I mean, rolling out the TV, you know, and I think I was in chorus, and I think, you know, in this whole war on... it's not a war. I don't know why I said that. The genocide on Palestine, you know. I think this affects me, and, you know, everybody's like, you're a trans person. You can't be for the side of,
right?
You know, like, you know what they do to trans people in Palestine.
But a genocide is a genocide.
That's what
regardless.
I'm saying. And I'm also an immigrant from Germany, so people think...
Right, Germany has also been a place full of conflict and full of...
Exactly. So I get really frustrated that people don't understand that people are dying regardless, so that I stand up, because I've taken that flag that you were speaking about earlier, and I've taken it downtown to protest multiple times, and I'm really upset that people are dying in droves.
No, war is never a good thing.
Yeah.
And again, it serves as talking points for people who want to push their, you know, their thing, and it's never a good thing. There are innocent people who are dying, and it's a humanitarian crisis. It's not a good thing.
Yeah. When I was young, it was really pushed that brown people were bad. Right. And that's why I joined the military. Like post
9/11. Right. Of course. I mean, again, there was a huge push.
I didn't like it. And I don't think things will change per se, but that's why I think I push for like the Palestinian movement. But
as long as there is something to gain, there is always going to be against them.
Yeah. I just wanted to know, like, is there a reason, like, specifically you thought this podcast would be, like, super fun?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I feel like we've gotten a lot closer over the past year at work.
Certainly.
And when you posted it on Instagram, I'm like, oh, that sounds cool. I've never been part of a podcast.
Well, you're a whole ass vibe, dude.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I feel like it's everyone's kind of bucket list thing to start a podcast. I mean, who doesn't talk to themselves in the shower and hey, welcome back to the Sergio Show.
You know, just
talk about nonsense and you know, I think it would have been cool to just shoot.
Well, you're still young. There's plenty of time for you to like.
Oh, well, of course.
You know, this is good practice for you.
For sure, for sure. But I mean, I thought it was a great opportunity and sounded like fun. So
This is awesome, man. And this, you know, this honestly brings, you know, good like chatter to like both sides of the aisle. I'm always curious to have other people.
Yeah, for sure. And you know what? Let me point out that's something I really enjoy about where we work is we have such a huge range of ages at work.
Oh my gosh, you're not lying.
You know, we have people who are fresh out of high school and people who are treating this job as a retirement side gig kind of thing. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
But it's cool because you have so many people from so many walks of life, and I still think we have specifically the security department, probably one of the tighter relationships amongst most of the coworkers there.
I agree.
I love it, man. You know, when we have our end of the homestand Murphy sessions and stuff that, it's fun, you know.
Yeah.
Everyone buying each other drinks or the trivia night that we had, you know, for again, sure. All sorts of people, and it's all great.
How many
fun.
Years have you been there now?
This is going to be my third year.
Oh, see, you couldn't have even imagined. See, I thought you were there longer. I'm trying to think of what it was like before, because I feel like the camaraderie has really, like...
I like to compare it to kind of like the class of, you know, graduating classes. Yeah. We all started at the same time, so we all kind of have grown together,
yeah.
You know, at the same
time. It feels very military-like, and I don't mean in, like, the nasty, like,
way. We're just one giant troop, you know.
Because it's the friendly confines. I just feel like... It's not the, yeah, like I said, the grab ass kind of way. It's
there's a lot of camaraderie.
Yes, but it's like we're so nice to each other.
I agree.
I don't know how to describe it in the very, it's very positive male energy. I've never been around a lot of men who are just very kind to each other. It's really strange.
I mean, like, for example, even in the locker rooms after, you know, the shift, the stereotypical locker room talk, but it's always, in good fun, you know, mm-hmm. never insulting in any way. But
right.
Again, it's just the supervisors and you know, the mm-hmm. staff are all mingling together.
Exactly.
There is no ranking in the locker room. It's mm-hmm. just.
I love it, man. I really do love my job.
I do. And I'm looking forward to this season.
Yeah.
Not just as a worker, but as a fan. I mean, I've been a Cubs fan my whole life.
Right.
My elementary school was about 4 blocks from the school.
Are your parents Cubs fans?
Of course.
Where are they from?
They were also born in Mexico. But I mean, we've grown up here most of my life. My dad, as he was, you know, being raised, he was in and out of Chicago and Mexico a lot. He was
where about in Mexico? Do you mind me asking?
We're from San Luis Potosí.
Oh, okay.
San Luis Potosí.
I love the way you say that.
Yeah. So central Mexico, deserty kind of place.
Okay.
It's a little sad because I was born there, but we moved here when I was 1-ish.
Okay. Still holdable.
A little over 1 year old. And, you know, we sold everything we had over there. My dad had built us a house. You know, they had a couple businesses.
Okay.
But they came here, you know, with the American dream in mind, just nice. Hoping to build a better future for their kids.
Siblings.
I do have siblings. I have an older brother and a younger sister.
Okay.
So I'm the middle child.
Same dog.
Yeah, but you know, it's great that we moved here, and I'm very appreciative for what mm-hmm. my parents have sacrificed and done. But it's also a little bittersweet because I haven't gotten to know Mexico very much.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, we've been to, you know, the beaches, the resorts, mm-hmm. you know, the very nice places. But culturally speaking, I haven't gotten to explore my own hometown very
right.
much. We have gone back a couple times, you know,
hurts,
for special
doesn't
occasions.
It?
It does a little bit, yeah. a little bit. So, actually my folks went back to visit, family, a couple weeks ago, mm-hmm. a couple months ago. I didn't go with them because mm-hmm. I stayed home to take care of the dog and everything. And my dad came back and he's like, you know what? I'm going to be honest. I didn't like it very much. it was probably my least favorite visit back home.
But it's closure, I imagine.
No, for him, it was, I mean, again, he's grown up there all his life.
Right.
And to him, he's seen that it's just a little bit more worn down. The city
right.
hasn't really been taken care of. The infrastructure is very lacking.
It's all going to the tourist area.
No, not even. Well, yeah. I mean, we're very far from the tourist area.
Mm-hmm.
We're a very industrial town. So I know yeah. there's a couple companies that have their headquarters down there mm-hmm. and factories. But, you know, it's been developed in a very not nice way. So he said that it was kind of saddening to see it in such a run and down state. So it makes me sad that I didn't get to witness it at its prime or, you know, grow up in it a little bit.
Right. That's how I feel about, like, not going back to Germany.
Right.
I just got my passport, though, because I've never been
there. Where are you from in Germany?
Wiesbaden.
Okay.
It's, like, near Frankfurt.
Sure.
So I was born and raised there. So, you know, I'm an immigrant. So this accent that you're hearing, or twang, as people call it, is from Alabama. You know, my
right.
mom married an American soldier, and we came to America.
How old were you when you came over?
I think I was like 9.
Okay, so fairly
German.
Young, too.
Yeah, and I spoke some German, but it got spanked out of me.
Was English your first language?
No.
Okay.
German was my first language. And I haven't been back. I plan to go back. my mom went to boarding school in London.
Okay.
So she has a very British accent, which is now kind of being mixed with an American accent because she's been here so long, which is, I'm really,
you can't help but.
Yeah. Well, she's been in Lower Alabama for so long. I'm really finding that unique because now I'm up here and I go down there and it's kind of funny.
Well, that's true. I've never heard of a British Alabama accent.
It's before. So funny. but yeah, I'd really like to go back because I need the closure. So sorry, sure. I was assuming that about your father, but I need the closure. Like, you know,
right. Of course, reconnect a little bit.
It's kind of weird not knowing where you're from. But it, you know, it's really interesting. But are your parents like religious at all? Did you grow up in a religious?
Oh, religion has always been a weird subject in our house. I mean, from my perspective, I didn't think we were very religious. You know, compared to my cousins who actually lived a couple houses down, you know, they would be the type of family to pray before every meal, go to church every Sunday. And to us, the only time we would go to church or mass or whatever would be on Easter or on Christmas, right? So to me, it was never
big ones.
It was never a very prevalent, huge thing. The only signs of religion that we ever had in our house were maybe like a decorative cross or something like that. But it was never, to me, it was never that deep. We did have several discussions back and forth, you know, it got a little complicated.
Yeah.
But personally, you know, I don't really believe in that sort of stuff. So I don't know if I mentioned this earlier, but I am a psych major. And I like to blame psychology a little for ruining religion for me.
Some people say that.
I don't get me wrong. I think religion is great. I think it is a good tool to help explain what could never, ever be explained.
That's a good way to put it.
Because people go crazy, right? If you really can't put an answer to life's greatest mysteries, you know, what happens after death? I know death is a fear for a lot of people, right? The uncertainty of what comes after. And any religion, I think, is a great answer for providing a little bit of clarity afterwards, right? You know, the promise of eternal paradise afterwards and that sort of thing is, I think, good for helping, you know,
ease the
right. But outside of that, you know, I'm basing this on Catholicism because that's what my family was based on.
Interesting.
You know, I think any other story outside of that are just that, stories. You know, I don't bash people for being religious, just myself, you know, just the way I see it. Okay. You know, I think these religions provide a good guideline for how to be a good person, how to, you know, better your life and, you know, again, answer those unexplainable questions. But, you know, other than that, I think it's just, you know, theology. It's just, you know, stories.
Yeah, I'm pretty much on the baseline with you there. It's kind of like a buffer for people to feel comfortable. I grew up kind of going to church, like when I went... when I was 13, my parents were not religious. I think my dad, like his mom was pretty religious when I was young. I remember her saying, because I remember putting like a load of laundry in her, and she was like, "We don't work on Sundays." And that's the only thing I remember her saying.
Okay, sure.
So I remember he grew up in a religious home. But me, I just remember my parents otherwise didn't go to church. I remember some point I met a youth pastor. And then he offered to take me and his like family to church somewhere in Mississippi. So I started going. It was shortly thereafter I realized.
So you were more introduced by yourself. Like there wasn't.
Yeah. I don't even remember how I met this man. Now I realize I'm like.
A little weird.
And I remember the pastor of that church. His last name was Beaver. ended up being fired from that church because he was effing the secretary, which checks out now that I'm 36 years old. Anyway, I was going to that church because now I realize I wanted to see that little girl, Megan, over and over and over.
There was an ulterior motive. I got.
And I didn't realize that at the time, but I also looked like a little boy. Once I go home and recover the photos, which I'm old, so they're on little 4x6. I've been talking about scanning those in. You'll see like little photos of me. Dude, I was wearing like those long, like, oh God. plaid shorts, you know, okay, what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like little, dude, I look like a little boy sleeping, like the sleep-ins,
right.
like a bunch of little girls, bro. I was like in heaven, but I was considered like a little girl. But in my head, I was like a little boy, but they were like, no, you're a girl, so you're sleeping in here.
Right, of course.
I mean, I didn't have any sexual motives because I was young. I'm a kid, but they kept labeling me as the little girl.
Yeah, of course.
But I was the most tomboy. I was just like, bro.
The signs were there. The kids were there, dog.
Like, and they kept saying, nope. And I was like, all right. But now looking back, I wanted to stay in the church for, you know.
Right.
But
you
had a crush.
You had a crush on this girl. Dude.
That was like my very first crush over there in Mississippi. I got a girl, if you're listening, Megan. I don't even remember her last name, but she ain't listening. I don't remember. I mean, I was like 13 years old. But, you know, it's like, parents don't listen to their kids, and it goes to show, like, you just kind of know, like, you know, you're left-handed, but sometimes it may not be every time. Sometimes your boy might just want to play with a damn Barbie doll, and they may grow out of it and love something else later down the line. But I think that it kind of goes to show you that maybe religion might be something that they do for a little bit. And maybe like playing with a certain toy might be something they do for a little bit.
Right, of course.
But I think that the end of the story, like, my parents weren't religious and they didn't push me into it.
Okay.
And my parents never pushed me into wearing any kind of clothes. They let me choose whatever the hell I wanted to. I have a twin sister, right? And I also have
fraternal or identical?
No, fraternal.
Okay.
Thank God she's not identical, because then I have to explain that away. Right? Because identical can't be boy, girl.
Right.
Because you have to be identical. But when we had clothes...
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. Yeah,
no, you're good. I didn't know that either for the longest time. I think I was like 23 when I found that out. Because I was like, oh, your genitals literally have to match. Right?
Right.
I didn't know that. But where was I going?
So I do got to ask you this. Yeah. Do you guys have that twin... telepathy kind of thing?
Yeah, we've had it a few times. I don't think we've had it lately, but there was a few times we've had it. But the one time that I do remember, I was actually in basic training when I was in the military. I was actually at reception, which is like that week when they're giving you all your stuff and taking pictures, like that photo when everybody's in your actual pantsless.
Really?
Yeah, everybody's pantsless as far as I'm aware, because I sure was. And they literally
just
give you a
just
top.
Because
everybody's trying on their boots and their uniform and everybody's shuffling through.
Just for the sake of the picture.
Literally, yeah, for the sake of the picture.
Of
and they let me get a phone call because I was like, all of a sudden my ribs were hurting. I was like out of breath. Like, it was really weird. I cannot describe it. It was just a really strange feeling. I don't know. It just felt like I got in a car accident.
Sure.
Whatever. And like, I told these drill sergeants, like, I got to call home. This was not the age of cell phones. It was the beginning of 2007, like January.
So rotary phones is what we're
talking about. Yeah, we're talking about. Anyway, so he was like, we were going to make an exception, but you're like going to do a million pushups. I don't even remember what. So I called. My sister got in a car accident like that very minute.
Really?
Very minute.
So when you were feeling,
swear to God.
Wow.
True story.
That's creepy.
Yeah.
That's scary.
And my mom, and she didn't even pick up the phone. My mom picked up the phone. Swear to God. True story.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. True story, man. And that's like the biggest one. That's the only one I truly remember because it's so. Like,
yeah, of course. It's very, very, very vivid.
Very vivid. Yeah.
Wow, that's intense. Isn't that's it? Scary. That's
I know.
Scary.
I was like, holy shit.
You can't help but question if it really, I mean, it's got to be a real thing.
And so, I know, and I, like, I don't know, that one brings me back, man. Yeah.
That's cool. That is very cool.
Yeah, the social pressures of being a twin, man, it's wild. Yeah. Do you remember, like, the social pressures of, like, being a boy, like, when you first got labeled, like, initially?
Oh, man. You know, not really. I guess it were those moments where, even as a kid, because again, kids are so much sharper than people attribute them to be.
Sure are.
But I would notice there were instances where sometimes people would genderize pointless stuff, like having an emphasis on like if we were lining up in elementary school to go out to recess, it had to be a boys' line and a girls' line.
See, like, you're much more aware of these things because you were in school such
right.
more recently.
But I'm thinking to myself, why? What's the point of having a girls line and a boys line? Just as long as we line up in single file line and we're orderly, does it really matter if it's, you know, gendered and that kind of thing? Or yeah, toys. The toy aisle is such a huge thing. You know, you have your Hot Wheels and your monster trucks, you know, very catered to boys. And then you go to the aisle next door and everything's pink.
God forbid you mix it. Yeah, to me, that's so weird.
I'm going to butcher this, and I'm not going to recall it perfectly.
That's fine.
But there was a show called Adam Ruins Everything, and I think every week he would take something and really deconstruct it.
Yeah.
And I don't remember specifically what the topic of one of the episodes was, but I think he talked about how when setting up this huge monopoly on toys, I think it might have been Hasbro, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
It was genuinely a flip of a coin, and it was this business strategy that, you know what, we're going to cater specifically to both genders. Before that, it was just, you know, cater to kids in general, but they were like, you know what, we're gonna start monopolizing and just catering and advertising to boys, and we're going to advertise separately to girls, and it's going to be separate. And ever since then, it's just been the de facto model to follow. And
I'm like,
it's kind of dumb. And you mentioned it earlier. If a boy wants to play with a Barbie doll, it's just a Barbie doll.
And like, the thing, it may not be forever.
Right. Right. Again, a kid has such an active imagination. To him, the Barbie doll could be anything they want it to be, or vice versa. Right. It's so, you know, I growing up and seeing all these things, it just makes me want to apply the inverse, the opposite of it, to maybe when I one day have kids, right? Mm-hmm. You know, just separate the unnecessary stuff. Like, there's no point in separating and dividing everything like that. And
it's almost putting like everything in a box, and so not necessary. Like, for instance, there's a Instagram I just recently followed, and it's like this teacher, and he's a cis guy, right? And I was like, why are we following this guy? Because a bunch of people are like hating on him, like he's just a regular teacher, and I'm just like, I don't understand. So I just kind of just keep looking at his videos, and then his kid picks out a Barbie, or it's a Barbie car and a Ken and a Barbie, and I'm just like, those look like his parents,
right?
And I'm like, that's why he wants that
stuff. Of course.
That's
no other reason than they remind him of.
That's why the people are hating on it. It's just a little kid because that's what he wants.
Yeah, of course.
And that's why people are hating on the teacher. That's it. The boy wants to play
with
Barbies.
The way I see it, I mean, if I were to be a little kid again, a Barbie mansion would have been the perfect place for my little toy soldiers or my little Legos to you know, play.
Right.
Like, it's huge. Doesn't matter that it's pink. It's huge. It has many rooms.
Right.
You can do whatever you want with it.
It doesn't indicate that the kid is, like, gay or trans or whatever. And, like...
And even if it did, what's the matter with it? I mean,
it's so strange. I don't know. It's so strange to me, like, that method of thinking, because I don't think like that. And to me, I was never presented that kind of stuff. I mean, even as a child, you know.
Right.
So I don't know. All right, man. Well, we're kind of out of time. So I really want to have you back, dude.
Yeah, for sure.
I feel like this time went so fast. We're already at 34 minutes.
Oh, wow, man.
I know. It like zoomed by. So yeah, let me really have you back. I think
I would love to be back. Yeah, thanks for having me on in the first place.
Seriously. Yeah. All right, man. Well, this was Sergio from Wrigley Field. All right, man. It was a great conversation.
I appreciate it. Yeah. Thank you, man.
Seriously.